Hey, Think Realty, thanks so much for joining us today on the podcast. It's my privilege to be your host today, the founder of Think Realty. I started in 2013 to really help a lot of real estate investors or people that are exploring real estate investment as an option to find their way in, get great information, data, and connections that they need in order to succeed. I'm a third generation real estate investor, so I had such a privilege of being at a home of a man who kind of gave me a lot of that content and wanted to make sure that we were passing that along. We founded Think Realty in 2013, and now millions of people later, we're super excited to continue bringing you great content each and every day. We've got a great guest here in just a second I'll bring on that'll do just that. But before I do that, let me say a quick thank you to our podcast sponsor, which is Residential Assisted Living Academy. Residential Assisted Living Academy introduces you to a lucrative opportunity that can yield $10,000 a month net cash flow. And that is a great legacy asset for you to put into your portfolio. You can learn more about that at RAL101.com. That's RAL101.com. Our guest today is someone that I've just recently become aware of. They've actually sponsored some various things for Think Realty, and we always appreciate the support there, but also had the chance to kind of look through some of the software opportunities that they've provided our network and our group of people, and always a huge fan of streamlining your real estate portfolio, and they can help you do just that. So on the guest today, or on the show today, we have guest Dave Spooner. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Joining us all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio. Great rental market, by the way. I don't have a ton of properties there, but I have a few and would love to have a whole lot more.
Yeah, we're lucky to have it in our backyard. That's where I've started investing as well, and it's nice to have it right here. It's a great market.
Yeah, right there in Cincinnati, across the border over in Kentucky, in Covington, you can find some really great assets, but very good. Well, today we're going to talk about your product that you have. If you don't mind, just give our listeners and viewers an overview of what Inago does and the benefits that it has, then we'll kind of jump into various uses and maybe some tips and tricks for those that are managing properties today.
Yeah, Inago is rental management software, but honestly, we internally describe ourselves more as tenant management software. That's what we think the biggest variable is in property management, right? It's managing and communicating with your tenants. So everything we do and everything we build is really in service of that, trying to make it easier for landlords to manage their tenants. It's got a lot of the features you'd expect in any rental management software, like online payments, digital document signing, tenant screening, communication, maintenance, et cetera. But again, everything is from that perspective of a DIY landlord or property manager, sort of a small to mid-sized person, really trying to more effectively manage those tenants.
Yeah. And you know, I see that across our platform. There are so many mom and pop real estate investors that have 2, 3, 4, 10 rental properties. And finding those efficiencies can be difficult for them. And this is one of those areas that I believe that a lot of them could benefit from. I would say that to me, and I'd be curious to know from you what the greatest barrier to entry is and why they won't just jump into something like this. But I find that a lot of landlords today, especially the DIYers, are resistant to technology and technology changes. And that's typically the greatest barrier to entry that I see. It's usually not a price issue. It's usually not a timing issue. It's usually just maybe they've always had a pen and paper. They've stopped by and picked up the rent checks or whatever it is. Is that what you believe the greatest barrier to entry is in this marketplace?
I think you're exactly right. I think it's the inertia of what you know. You know, and especially with the DIY landlord that works a 9-to-5, and they might just have maximum a couple of hours a week to manage their portfolio and plan their next investment. If they know they can sit down and in a half hour knock out the work that they need, pen and paper, they can do it, right? Rather than trying to build on and take on a whole new system, and that's going to rock the boat and shake everything up, and they don't feel like they can even invest the time needed. So I think that's the biggest thing, is they just have this inertia built up of how they currently do things, and understanding that it can actually save you tremendous time in the long run and making that transition as easy as possible is really important to us.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And for all of you listeners and viewers out there, you know, Q1 2024, this is all about creating efficiency and productivity in your business. If you have a portfolio and you're not running it like a business, you're missing out. The question I get asked all the time is, how do you get to the point where you have the thousands of doors like I have, And it comes down to, well, you have to make the system replicatable and easy. And if it's hard and cumbersome, you're not going to continue to amass assets. So make it easy for yourself. Explore products like this to really create ease of use. So Dave, you've been in the technology space for a little while. Why jump into a space like this where there, I mean, there's some, you know, it's not, I wouldn't call it red ocean, but it's, there are other, you know, software companies out there. What was it that you were trying to solve, or what was it that like kind of really motivated you to get into this space?
Well, it's a really fragmented market. It has been historically. There have been a lot of companies and software platforms that have taken a crack at trying to provide better software for smaller landlords. And inevitably, they all seem to kind of move upstream to bigger and bigger landlords. And so we wanted to try to find a way to continue to service those smaller landlords throughout their journey. And in speaking with a lot of different landlords, actually my background, I started in a student housing specific software platform and spoke with hundreds, maybe thousands of landlords. And over again, they kept pointing to all the flaws they saw in the software that was out there. And most of it was around how easy is it to pick up and start using? Mm-hmm. How does it fit into our, you know, our balance sheet? What's the cost, et cetera. So trying to find those ways to navigate that and understand where can we continue to offer value to these smaller DIY landlords was really sort of the impetus for it. And we were big admirers of platform called Cozy, which you're probably mm-hmm. familiar with. It was very really familiar. Popular back in, I think they were founded, 2010, maybe something like that. Big fans, but they were almost micro-focused on just a couple of units. And we said, hey, the journey keeps going, right? Most people don't get involved in real estate investing to be like, I got my duplex, I'm done, right? They want to get to 10, 20, 30 units. How do you build software that allows for that journey? It sort of grows with the landlord without outgrowing the landlord. And that's what we tried to do.
Yeah. I know that, you know, as I've talked to thousands of landlords out there, especially in the mom and pop space, you know, like the small, you know, portfolio, obviously rent, you know, payment, the kind of a payment structure, payment gateway obviously is important. But one of the big pieces that I hear from a lot of them is just maintenance and maintenance management and maintenance request. Is that something that Inago serves well?
Yeah, really well. So of course, a tenant can submit a maintenance ticket through our system and they can add pictures and video and the landlord can then comment and reply back and forth and have a conversation around that ticket. And honestly, enabling that communication is often the most important piece because half the time it's a simple fix that you just need to ask the tenant if they've attempted or tried. And that can save you a trip. It can save you hiring somebody if you're remote or if you're, you know, not equipped to handle the situation. And it also gives the tenant a lot of peace of mind to get that quick reply. So even that kind of simple form makes a huge difference. But even beyond that, we have lots of features that kind of build on top of it and make it even more robust for landlords when they need it.
Yeah. So you've been in the space for a while. You said you started in student housing. Obviously, you're building a technology piece that really serves the mom and pop landlord. Maybe just, you know, because you've been around so much, you've done so much research, you're involved in building technology for the space. What are some maybe tips that you would give a small landlord for communicating, whether it's through a platform or just generally speaking?
Well, I think that being smart in your rigidity is really important, right? Mm-hmm. Set rules and stick to them, because if you don't, tenants are going to take advantage of it, either on purpose, maliciously, or not. They may just sort of naturally fall into that. So having really precise rules around late fees, for example, and really sticking to those rules is critical. Communicating your rules and expectation to the tenant at the outset, whether it's through the lease or highlighting certain portions of the lease, sharing a move-in packet, things like that make a big difference. And I will also say, I think that trying to foster a strong relationship with the tenants in very subtle, small ways can make a big difference. Like for example, when tenants move into our properties, we give them a little welcome basket of cleaning materials, cheap stuff, but it shows them like, we care about this unit. Sure. We want you to care about the unit too. And we also care about you and we want your move-in process to be simple and smooth. Mm-hmm. So those little subtle ways in which you can communicate your expectations to the tenant go a long way.
Yeah, great suggestions. You know, being a landlord sometimes comes with a lot of creativity. You know, you're trying to find additional ways to increase the incomes in your property and things like that. And one of the big things that I found, especially for younger tenants, I have a lot of student housing in Ohio, is that I'll oftentimes offer, you know, like technology programs where it's like, I'll provide a Ring doorbell, a TV installed, your cable, a thermostat, digital thermostat, stuff like that. And I'll provide it and then I'll manage it monthly and they just pay a fee, right? And there's an additional upside to me, but it's ease of use for them. Are there ways for me to manage things like that, those ancillary programs that I'm essentially building to try to increase the profitability of my assets inside of Inago?
Well, you could certainly easily facilitate the charge for that, right? Yeah. So you could have an automated, if you have like a set amount that you're going to charge them every sure. month, you can have that automated. If that changes, if it's variable, it's easy to automate that as well. It's not like we connect to like Nest. We don't sure. have like a third party yeah. connection or anything. So it's not going to pull sure. some of that data in, right. but it is easy to automate the charges and automate some of the initial processes when you're creating a new lease. So it automatically puts sure. those things in.
Yeah. That's awesome. Very, very good. So you also are an investor.
Yeah.
You're investing in properties as well. Very good.
I am.
And primarily in the Cincinnati space.
Yeah. All well, Cincy and Covington. Yeah. So okay. right around this area, greater Cincinnati
Very
area.
Good. That's awesome. Very good. One kind of last question before we jump off the podcast, but like, where do you see the technology space going? I mean, obviously, it seems like there's a huge push for people to be holding assets today. Interest rates, hopefully go down in the near future. But affordability is really difficult for a lot of first-time home buyers. They're trying to find their way into living in housing that's affordable for them. And a lot of investors are, essentially helping with that by creating more inventory, creating rental properties, stuff like that. But as far as the technology space and, the area you're in, what are some things on the horizon that you're seeing?
Well, the two letters that everybody's talking about are AI, right? Everybody wants to know how AI is going to change things. And yeah. I think that that's going to be true for property management as well. It's easy to slap those two letters on something and call it AI, and it doesn't add any additional value. So being really smart in the ways that we try to find how can AI actually provide value here is really important. But I think some off the cuff, anytime there are sort of repeatable processes, AI is a great fit, right? So in the communication space, AI can be great at answering basic questions of tenants, right? Or helping them to understand and diagnose a maintenance issue, possibly resolve it themselves, or surface for you what needs to be done in a really quick and seamless manner, right? So there's lots of different little things that AI can find. The other piece where AI can be really helpful is revealing to you analysis of your existing data, right? So it can potentially tell you like, hey, this might be a great time to sell this property, or hey, this is a great time to refinance and look for the next one, to roll that money forward. Trying to find different insights from your existing data that you might not have the time or even the resources yourself to discover is going to be really helpful. So we're really thrilled to see a lot of the changes in AI and how that can potentially help us, and just kind of trying to figure out where it makes the most sense.
Sure. That's awesome. Glad to hear that you're starting to incorporate that. We've been getting a lot of questions about that. I know even some recent articles in the magazine have dealt with, using AI specific to maybe it's being a landlord or investing or culminating kind of data in this space. If someone's interested in checking out the product, easiest way to get there, are there some free demos or are there some things that you can provide to help them kind of on that journey?
Yeah, so Inago.com is the best place to start, right? INNAGO.com. And we actually, our software is free to use, so no free demo needed. They can just go in, sign up, start using it, try it out. If it's not a great fit, just close down the account. If it is, awesome. You found some great free software. Sure. You can also contact me. I love to give out my email and take questions directly. It's just dave@inago.com. So if anyone wants to, they can feel free to shoot me a note.
Very good. I know that for a lot of real estate investors, you just said a very key word there, and the keyword is free. Obviously if you are not using a software right now, there's no risk. You might as well jump in, try to figure this out, start using it, see if it aligns for you. And, can I say that as a real estate investor, who manages thousands of doors, I don't manage them, but I have people that manage them, and having software that helps me understand, what's going on is huge for me. It's allowed me to scale my portfolio. But more than that, when it comes tax time, you will thank me for pushing you towards using software if it is something that will help you kind of capture that data. And it will be so, so helpful for you as you kind of get into this process. So Dave, thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage all of our listeners and viewers to go check out the software there at inago.com and reach out to him. And if you guys need some help, and then also give us some feedback on the software. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it and help other Think Realty viewers, listeners find their way. Thanks, Dave, so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Very good. And one more quick thank you to our podcast sponsor, which is Residential Assisted Living Academy. They introduce you to a lucrative opportunity that can yield $10,000 per month net or more. And it's a great asset class to get involved in. You can find more information at RAL101.com. That's RAL101.com. And then before I wrap up, if you have not already bought your tickets to our Think Realty Conference and Expo in Phoenix, Arizona, March 28th and 29th, make sure to go on thinkrealty.com and buy your tickets specific to that conference. If you haven't been to the West Coast in a few years, it'll be an amazing show. Tons of content, real estate investors. If you need access to deals, capital, knowledge, whatever it is, we provide all of that at our conferences and expos and really expose you to literally dozens and dozens of ways to invest in real estate. So maybe if you're already in single family, but you want to explore multifamily or you want to explore other asset classes like storage units or whatever it is, we've got all that content there and we will help you along your journey. And if you go to thinkrealty.com and you go to /events, click on the Phoenix event and you use the word podcast, that's my gift to you. It'll give you a buy one, get one free ticket. That way you can bring you, a friend, an investor, a spouse, whatever it is with you along for that journey. And if you haven't picked up our latest magazine, make sure you go to Barnes & Noble, pick up the latest Think Realty magazine, or go to thinkrealty.com, subscribe, get it to your doorstep like me for constant use. I read it cover to cover every month, such great content in there, and I know you'll enjoy it too. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.